Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the reign of Amaziah as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings, chapter 14, verse 8. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
Then Amaziah sent messengers to Joash. Now, there is a part of the history here that we pick up in Chronicles that isn't recorded here, and we don't understand fully this particular portion of the story, except we have it from the book of Chronicles. Edom had about 100 years earlier rebelled against the kingdom of Judah, which had subjugated it, and they were paying tribute. And so he decided to go down and take Edom again. He gathered together an army of 300,000 men, and they hired 100,000 mercenaries from Israel to go with them. As they were going down to Edom, a prophet of God said, "Why would you lean upon the arm of flesh for victory over Edom? Why would you hire these mercenaries? God is able to deliver them unto you." And so he sent the mercenaries home to Israel, but they were angry for being sent home. And so as they went back home, they ripped up some of the cities of Judah. And so when he came back from the victory over Edom, he sent messengers to the king of Israel. And really it was because of what these mercenaries from Israel had done. And he said, "Come and let's look one another in the face." In other words, he was challenging him to a fight, challenging him to warfare. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, saying, "The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, 'Give thy daughter to my son for a wife.' And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle." Now, it is a parable. And, of course, in the parable, the thistle was Amaziah. The cedar tree was Jehoash. And the desire to have his daughter as the husband's bride was setting himself on an equal with Jehoash. But Jehoash said a wild animal came by and knocked over, trode down the thistle. In other words, "You're nothing, man. You know, you're a thistle trying to find equality with a cedar tree. But a little wild animal can knock you over. You have indeed," he said, "smitten Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Glory in this and stay home. For why should you meddle to your hurt that you should fall, even you and Judah with you?" Jehoash sent back a message with a parable and said, "Look, you're excited, you're proud because you've had a victory over Edom. Don't get carried away. Just enjoy the victory that you have. Stay at home and glory in your past accomplishments, but don't meddle to your own hurt, to your own defeat." Oh, that we would learn the lesson of the danger of meddling. How often we as Christians even meddle in areas where we have no business being, with things which we have no business meddling with. And the result of meddling is usually hurt, defeat. We meddle around with things that the Lord specifically tells us we're not to have anything to do with them. You meddle around in the world. The Lord said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that hath the love of the world in his heart hath not the love of the Father." And yet we see Christians meddling with things of the world. But it's only to your own hurt. But we read, Amaziah would not listen. Therefore, Jehoash, the king of Israel, went up. He took the aggressive. He, rather than waiting to be attacked, he sent his troops south to the area of Beth Shemesh, which is the area where Samson hung out in the earlier days. And Amaziah, the king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh with Jehoash, the two of them. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tents. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Joash, and he came to Jerusalem, and he broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, about 600 feet. And he took all of the gold and the silver and the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, and he took hostages and returned to Samaria. He had been warned not to meddle. He wouldn't listen to the warning. And as the result, he was defeated. As the result, he lost part of his defenses as the wall of Jerusalem was torn down on the north side, his defenses destroyed, and his treasures were taken just because he wouldn't listen but insisted on meddling. And so often is the case with us. We insist on meddling around until we are defeated by the enemy. And with that defeat comes the destruction of our defenses. You're not as strong as you once were. Having once given in, you don't have the same defenses against it the second time or the third or the fourth. And valuable treasure is lost. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, and that is going back north to this fellow who just wiped out Amaziah, which he did, his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, the king of Judah. Are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash for 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are not they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now, there was a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, against Amaziah. And so he fled to Lachish. But they pursued after him to Lachish, and they killed him there. And they brought his body on horses and buried him in Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. Now, his father had been assassinated, and now he is assassinated. And all of the people of Judah took Azariah, who was only 16 years old, and they made him the king instead of his father Amaziah. And Azariah built Elath and restored it to Judah, and after that the king slept with his fathers. Now, Elath was down on the Red Sea. It is in the area of the Gulf of Aqaba. It is across from present Eilat, which means that he again went into the area of Edom and conquered the area of Edom. Now, the name Azariah may be more familiar with you by the name of Uzziah. He is called by both names. The name Azariah means the Lord is my help. Uzziah means the Lord is my strength. We have a much more complete history of him in 2 Chronicles than we have here in 2 Kings. He did reign for 52 years. He was a popular king, and he had a powerful rule. During his reign, Judah prospered immensely. At the death of Azariah is when Isaiah began to prophesy. So we're now beginning to put some of the prophets in perspective as we come into this particular period of history. Around the year 826 BC and on down, we're going to be dealing with the area of the prophets, of which books we have. And so thus, as you read Isaiah in chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, and this would be the Azariah here, also known as Uzziah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. Then said I, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. And this, the story of how the seraphim came with a coal from the altar and touched his lips. And the Lord said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And Isaiah's commissioned to be the prophet came in the year that King Uzziah died. So we're beginning to move into the period of the prophets. Now in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, and we're introduced to Azariah here, and then we pop back to the northern kingdom, for we go back to Jeroboam. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned for 41 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did all of the other kings in the northern kingdom. Jeroboam, this would be the second, because the first king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam. He did that which was evil. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the first king, the son of Nebat. And he, however, was a strong king from a military standpoint. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath under the Sea of the Plain, according to the word of the Jehovah God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. And this is the Jonah that you know from the book by his name. And so this is the time of the prophet of Jonah and the time of his prophecy. Also in the northern kingdom, during the reign of Jeroboam, there came Amos from Tekoa. Now, Tekoa is south and east of Bethlehem. And Amos came up to Jeroboam and prophesied concerning Jeroboam and all. And thus, for extra credit, you should read the book of Amos at this point. And you'll now get the prophecies of Amos in historic perspective, if you will read them and think of them in light of Jeroboam's reign. Also during this time, Hosea also was prophesying. So that's another book that you'll have to read. You don't have to read Isaiah until next week, because as we get into the son of Azariah, then you get into the time of Isaiah's prophecy. But it helps if you can, in the reading of these prophets, put them in their historic setting, because then you can understand so much better the things that they are talking about as they speak concerning the deterioration spiritually of the kingdom and all. When you're reading the historic part along with the prophets, it helps immensely in getting the whole picture in perspective. So Jeroboam began to reign. He reigned for 41 years and did that which was evil, but he did have a powerful kingdom. And Jonah had prophesied that they were going to expand the kingdom under him, which they did. And the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Without sounding blasphemous, it should be noted that In a way, God is sort of a softie in regards to his people. Very tender, very patient, very soft. Jeroboam was not a good king. He was doing that which was evil, but God looked upon the nation of Israel. They're my people. And though they had turned their backs on God and had forsaken the Lord, God had not yet forsaken them. Wonderful thing about God. He is so slow to forsake his people. And he saw them in their pitiful condition, even though the pitiful condition was brought about by their own sin, their own rebellion against God. Yet God, seeing them in this pitiful state, no one would stand with them. They had no allies. Everybody was against them. Which touched the heart of God. And because everyone was against them, God was for them. And God helped them. Reached out his hand to help them. Oh, how patient, how loving, how kind is the God that we serve. How quick to forgive, how slow to react in judgment. And so the Lord saw the affliction. It was bitter. They had been shut up. Their enemies, they were surrounded by enemies. There was no one left to help them. And God felt sorry for them. He didn't say that he wouldn't blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, this king. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, all that he did, his might, how he warred, how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah. For Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah, his son, reigned in his stead. And now the northern kingdom goes through some real times of anarchy. But before we get to that, we come back to Judah. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, now remember he reigned for 42 years. In the 27th year, Azariah, or Uzziah, the son of Amaziah, the king of Judah, began to reign. He was 16 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death. And so he had to dwell in an isolated house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. So there was a co-reigning Uzziah with his son Jotham. Now the Lord smote Uzziah, it says, with leprosy. In 2 Chronicles, we are given the story of how it happened. He was a very popular king. He was a powerful king, and he went into the temple, into the holy place, to burn incense before the altar of incense. And the high priest, along with 80 other priests, came in and challenged him and said, "What are you doing in here? It's not been appointed for you to burn incense before the Lord. That's the job of the priest. Get out of here." And Uzziah raised his hand against the high priest, but as he did, they were amazed because they saw this leprosy just break out all over his body. And so the Lord smote him with this leprosy because of his intrusion into an office to which he was not called. Now, God called him to be a king. God did not call him to be a priest. And thus he had no right intruding into the area of the priesthood. So Azariah attempted to do something that God had not called him to do. going in to offer incense. And thus we read here only that the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death. And the rest of the acts of Azariah, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Yes, they are. And we'll be looking at them when we get to the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of 2 Kings in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues to guide us through the entire Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and give you a beautiful week. May you enjoy His presence and His fellowship as you walk with Him. May you come into a new, rich love relationship with Jesus Christ, where your heart burns with passion for Him and for the things of the Spirit. May you be enriched in His fullness. May the Lord watch over and keep you. In Jesus' name.
As we look around at an impatient, instant, get-it-now society, we may have those same expectations of faith. Just as Abraham's faith developed as he got to know God better, so your faith will expand and develop as you walk with God. In his new book, Faith, Pastor Chuck teaches the scriptures that will help you learn how to increase your faith.
Faith believes when it cannot see. This I know.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's new book, Faith, and to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-WORD. Again, that's thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.